This is Sons of the Flag Radio, brought to you by Fire Engineering Blog Talk Radio. Our mission at Sons of the Flag is to revolutionize burn care and the quality of life for veterans, first responders, and families. Sons of the Flag believes that the future of burn care resides in research and development. Our vision is to accelerate the process of testing leading technologies and pushing them into circulation for immediate use by burn survivors across the nation. We're truly thankful for the continued support everyone shows Sons of the Flag and the support that you guys continue to show towards our mission and spreading our word to everybody that needs us, everybody that has never heard of us, and we ask that you just continue to do that for us. And we, again, are truly grateful and thankful for every single person that sends that share on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever it may be. Just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. This is a difficult time. We're in a difficult spot. But Sons of the Flag is prevailing like no other because of y'all's continued support. And so from me personally, from Birdman, from Landon, from Sherry, and every one of our task force members, we truly thank you from the bottom of our heart. So we're going to start tonight's show by honoring our brothers and sisters that we've lost since our last show. And we also want to make sure we do remember our fallen law enforcement officers and our fallen military veterans, whether in service or due to PTSD or any other issue. So our fallen brothers and sisters since our last show are Joseph Wright, David Hackett, Randy Miner, Marshall Brookfield, Kelly Fry, Mark Gilliam, Andrew Orphanodakis, Gregory Bauer, Giovanni Ciancio, Darcy Stallings, Nicholas Prioli, Lucas Stevenson, and Larry Wyatt. May we take a moment to honor these fallen heroes. So tonight we have somebody that I consider a good friend, a great brother, and usually whenever him and I talk on the phone or whether it be in person or on the phone or maybe through the interweb called Facebook, the conversations are pretty lengthy. And, you know, he's one of the best dudes that I know personally. And what he's doing for the fire service is unheard of. And what he's doing for North Texas firefighters is unheard of. And I just kind of want people to understand and know who Eddie Steele is. Eddie Steele, like I said, he's a good friend of mine. He's the president, founder, head honcho over there at the Frontier Fools, and one of Weatherford's finest. My wife and kids and I just stopped by there back in July, and he welcomed us with open arms, gave us a tour, showed my kids. Yeah, if anybody knows my kids, they like to climb up and down, up and down, up and down. they've seen every fire truck, but they've never seen the same fire truck. So it's cool. Eddie's a great guy, and I'm just absolutely honored that he's here with us tonight. So, Eddie, thank you, brother.
Hey, thank you, Landon. Thank you, Justin. I appreciate the opportunity to come on, and it's just a great thing. I'm always wondering, like, why do these guys want to hear from me, man? But whatever it is that I can do to help out or inspire or just cut some rugs with some folks, I'd be happy to do that. So I appreciate the opportunity.
That's great to have you on.
Thanks, sir.
You know, one of the unique things about Eddie, and I've always appreciated this about him, is that Eddie never puts himself first. He's always been about putting others before himself. And we actually had a phone conversation on the way over here, and Eddie does a lot of fundraising, and he tries to figure out, how can I help somebody else? And I think that's one of the most unique things about you, Eddie, is that, you know, when somebody's put into a situation or a predicament, I think you're one of the first people that I see stand up and take some sort of initiative or take some sort of charge to help remedy the situation. And that's kind of how we are here at Sons, right?
Yeah.
We've got a mission. We're going to figure out how to help people. And, you know, Eddie, whether he's not a member of Sons of the Flag, he understands what our mission is. He's putting everyone else before himself. You know, he's working his ass off, and he's doing everything he can to make sure that whoever is in a situation is getting the best, you know, possible care, being taken care of, or their families being taken care of. And so, Eddie, you know, you talk about some of the stuff that you do. You do a lot of the fundraisers online, but, you know, I also want you to talk about what brought you to the fire service. What brought you to this idea of wanting to serve others, whether it be through the fire service or through the Fools itself? Kind of talk about that a little bit for me.
Okay. Well, it's kind of long, but I'll But the great thing about it, though,
I know
is
you're a
that
man of many words. You're good.
and the more the better. That's great.
That's right. Well, it started late in my life, honestly. I'm a late bloomer. I was about 27 when I first went to the fire academy, and in my early adulthood, my late teens, I was on the wrong track. I was adopted when I was younger as an infant, and I struggled throughout my adolescence, kind of dealing with that, not really realizing how damn fortunate I was to be in that situation. And of course, there's some anger issues, and whatever it was, that was the right thing to do. Eddie Steele did the wrong thing. So, if there was that path that said this is the way to go, I was like, I'm going this way.
Turn it around.
Yeah.
That's right, just to do it, man. And so, I was running around with the wrong groups, doing the wrong things, and finally, my intuition, God, blessed mother, whomever you want to say it was, came up to me and said, "Hey, you idiot. You're either going to end up dead or in jail, one or the other." And so, at that moment, it was kind of funny. My parents had retired from their jobs, and they moved out west to Weatherford. And my dad, he was a fighter pilot in the Air Force, and he was an airline pilot, and this guy was just larger than life. And at that time, my dumb ass didn't understand it. I was always very interested in what he did, but of course, my ego got in the way. But anyway, what happened is I was out there mowing their lawn. I say their lawn, their 3 acres out there, the north part of town. And I'm hungover. I drove in from Arlington, shacking up in an apartment over there off of Collins and Brown Street. And I go out to the big pantry to get a chimichanga and a Dr. Pepper, and I'm looking down at the newspaper, and there's a newspaper that says Weatherford Fire Department hires two cadets from Weatherford College Fire Academy. And like, that was it. It's like a brick hit me in the head and said, "That's what you're gonna do." And I was like, "No way." I looked at it and I went home, took the newspaper at home. This is about 2006. Took the newspaper home and I told mom and dad, said, "Hey, this is what I want to do." My dad's like, "Yeah, right. You never finished anything in your life. But we're going to support you. So, whatever it is that you want to do, if you think this is what you need to do, first of all, you need to talk to your brothers." And they were both firemen in Los Angeles County. And these guys, they were awesome too, man. They were there during the Watts riots, and
Oh, wow.
they were hip boots, long coats, and open cabs, so
Back when
those were the
firemen were
firemen.
firemen.
Oh man, dude, yeah, I couldn't hold their boots if I wanted to. So I called them up and they told me, it ain't for everybody, and you're really gonna have to know what teamwork is, because you do everything together. You eat, sleep, go to the grocery store together, go in together, you come out together. And I said, "Man, let's do it." So my parents said, "If you want to, you can stay here at home while you go to the fire academy," which was 4 months at the time. But they said, "Eddie, if you don't finish this, we're cutting you off, man. This is it,
Yeah.
So okay, Roger that. I'm gonna do it. And so I went there the first day. Well, what I did is I started getting into shape, because my uncles told me, said, "If you're going there to get in shape, you're already lost, and
Yeah, right.
you're an old man compared to these kids that are gonna be in there." So I started running and lifting weights, and immediately that was kind of my detox and my savior and all that stuff. So the first day of fire academy, we ride from the bus, or from the campus to the drill field on this bus, and everything's quiet, everybody's got their gear bagging together. And like, I was never in the military. I should have been, but I was too much of an idiot not to. And I'm in there, I got my gear bag in my lap, holding it, and everybody's quiet, looking at each other, wondering what they just got themselves into. We pull up to the fire station there at Fire Station 3, and behind it's a drill tower. And then, who is now my fire chief, but at the time, Lieutenant Peacock comes up there. He's former 82nd Airborne. So he goes up there, and there's a kid to my left. I don't know who he is, but I think he just got out of the military, because he goes, "Oh shit, not again." And so Lieutenant Peacock gets up there. This guy is, he's squared away, shiny bald head, and he goes, "Welcome to the Weatherford College Fire Academy. My name is Lieutenant Peacock. I will be your drill instructor today. You have 10 seconds to de-ask yourself from this bus and get on the yellow line." And everybody starts falling all on top of each other. I'm like, "Oh shit, he's yelling." And anyway, but right there during that time, man, he's breaking everybody down and squaring everybody away. And I'm like, "This is it, man. this is what it was. Like, there was guys that never came home or never came back the next day. But I was like, this is what I needed, man. I needed this kick in the ass in this point of duty, this kind of duty and teamwork that I guess I'd probably been missing my whole life that I wanted to be a part of. And from then on, man, I was just engaged. This is what I was going to do. I was going to be the best I could at it. And, you know, it saved my life.
Yeah.
And probably no way. And to answer your question, why do I do this? There is no way that I can possibly give back to the fire service and what it gave to me.
Right.
I mean, I'm constantly trying to do it, but it's just, I don't know if I'll ever accomplish it, but if I can, I'm going to do it. And so every day, whenever I think of what can I do to make this better, you know, that's my goal. And I surround myself with guys that are much better than me, you know, guys like you two that are interviewing me, the cadre that's on the Frontier Fools, you know, e-board, all the instructors and all the mentors that I've come across. I mean, all these guys are so much better and awesome than me. And I'm just like, you know, I'm constantly asking for advice and such, but that's kind of how it happened, man. I was lost and the fire service found me and made me right. And saved my life, really. And so I guess that's what I'm trying to do is just, I want people to try to experience what I went through. And if they can't, well, then I'm going to try to give back to the fire service what it gave to me. And it's every day, almost the mission gets even bigger because there's always another, I guess, submission to the mission. You know,
correct.
Whether it's
yep.
making firefighters better, making guys that are struggling on the job better, getting their confidence back, trying to, you know, get rid of bullying in the fire service, trying to, you know, make it better for the citizens, get that mission of self before, or others before self, rather, you know.
Yeah.
And so every day it's evolving, and it's a great thing to be a part of. It's also all consuming sometimes. But that's kind of how it happened, the short and the long of it.
Well, and talk about that awesome aha moment where you're, you know, just hanging out in your kitchen, in your parents' kitchen, and you're going, you know, what the hell am I going to do? And I think all of us have kind of, around here, we're a bunch of misfits. So Bert had his aha moment. I've had mine. And
which is funny. I wanted to add on to that because I'm sitting here going back to Brendan McDonough's interview.
Yeah.
And I think Leroy Petrie was the same way.
Yep.
And I know I'm a similar story, but all the greatest success stories, I'm not sitting there saying I have a great success story, but listen to, you know, people like Eddie and then these guys talk, they've had the rough path. They've taken maybe the wrong turn down life, and this is like literally their last ultimatum. Here's your last chance. And it's really cool because Brendan McDonough, you know, look at the story that he had. I mean, 21 years old, you know, and then we know the story with the Granite Mountain. And then, you know, Leroy Petrie, he was talking about some of the, you know, his growing up too. You know,
like Devin Barnhart.
Yes. You know, everybody, you know, I think the thing we need to remember is that you can make the wrong choices in life, but you still have the ability to turn it around.
Absolutely.
Into something positive. And I think Eddie is a story of that. You know, I mean, he's proofed that story. And certainly some of these other guys. And I think that was really cool that you hit on that because that was one of the key things that I remember listening to these guys talk about. And I'm talking about Medal of Honor recipient and Granite Mountain survivor, you know, throwing you into that category with them because y'all do have similar instances. And I think that's what makes us so unique is that you do have opportunity. And people need to remember that there is opportunity. Just because you screw up or fuck up or whatever you want to do doesn't mean it's the end all and be all.
No.
Make a name for your damn self. Eddie stepped off the bus that day and saw the yellow line. And made a name for himself, and he hasn't stopped, which is funny because I actually went to Station 3 where Eddie's at right now. And it's unique that Eddie is – that's where his story started.
Yeah.
And I think that's super cool because I know you fought hard to get to Weatherford, and I know I've talked to Chief Russ out of Little Elm, you know, about your story, and he's spoken, you know, volumes about you, you know. And I know y'all's relationship, and, you know, and you – I think you went to Waxahachie first and then ended up in Weatherford. Am I correct?
Yeah, that was – what. It's actually Weatherford's my fourth place to go, but the Waxahachie was my first career department.
Right.
And I finally got it, but it took me 10 years of testing to get to Weatherford. I tested here 10 years in a row.
Yeah.
I should have just taken the hint and just gave up. I think at the very end, they kind of finally, when I almost turned Yeah, I guess I was 39 or 40 years old. I guess I just felt sorry for the old guy. Yeah. Well, he's got gray hair. No,
give him the waiver. Get him in. We're tired of seeing him. Get him a blue spot up front. He'll be all right.
That's it, dude. Yeah. It's funny, though, because you're right, man. You know, out of all the things that you're talking about, I can count on probably one hand the successes I've had in life, and the rest of them are just completely, you know, following the countless failures.
Yeah.
You know, I failed paramedic school 4 times, not the test, paramedic school, you know. I failed countless fire entrance exams. I just could not make the top 10%. It took me 7 years to get a full-time job. Yep. Before that, I was part-time, volunteering, half-time, no time. On the ambulances, you know, sitting in parking lots, waiting for the next, you know, crazy call in Fort Worth. And it just, I just couldn't give up, man, you know. And I would, you know, talk to these kids that were, you know, just got out of the fire academy. And I'd be telling them, like, hey, man, don't give up, man. Just keep on testing wherever you can. And finally, after a few years, I was like, dude, you need to give up, man, because I realized that I'm going to be competing with these kids. So I'm like, nah, man, oil field's better, man. You need to go there.
Yeah, that's where all the money's at.
It all worked out in the end, you know, and I think really what it is, it's funny. It's like, you know, I don't know how spiritual people are. I think when you're in this job, you end up being spiritual, whether you know it or not. Yep. But, you know, when you're younger, your dad will tell you, when you're older, you'll understand.
Yeah.
And I think that God does that. He'll make you go through these trials and tribulation, and you don't understand why you're in those positions. You're like, God, why are you doing this to me? You know, and you can just hear him whisper. He'll just say, son, when you're older, you'll understand. And that's kind of how I'm in. I'm like, I get it now. Okay.
You know, I wasn't ready yet. I like to use the analogy, and I've had to, you know, self-reflect upon this a lot of times. Sometimes you're in the valley between two mountains, right? Maybe that mountain's not as big as you actually think it is, but take a little effort. You're going to get out of that valley, I promise you. And you know, sometimes you're up against greater odds than you think, but you can overcome almost anything. And I think perseverance, that's the one thing. If I could have tattooed on my body is the word perseverance. As a daily reminder, I can stand in the mirror and look at it and remember, because I'm like you, I tested 14 times. I got two chief interviews. I failed countless tests. I never failed the physical agility test, thank God.
Nope.
But, I failed several board interviews or panel interviews, whatever you want to call them. And it does weigh on you. I mean, it's you said 7 years. You know, I had 14. That's probably over two and a half years, or almost 2 years, but it's tough, man. And I think these kids these days, if you want a job in the fire service here in Texas, all you got to do is live and breathe and be a paramedic, and you're golden right now, because we're looking for you like crazy here. So if anybody's listening to this and wants to work in an area of Texas, all these North Texas departments are hiring like crazy, and we just don't have the qualified people right now, and it's unfortunate. And I mean, some people have had to lower their standards because of it.
Well, and I think one of the things that that kind of constantly comes up on whenever we talk to guys, the introspection and how you really end up being your own worst enemy. Like you have to fight against, you know, whether it's your demons, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's your alcoholism, whether it's just you don't think that you're, you know, capable of doing something, or you don't think you're good enough to be around certain amount of people, or you don't think you're smart enough, and you just kind of wear yourself down. But you kind of have to have that aha moment where you're like, no, there's something that I got to do, and here's this mission that I need to create for myself, and I need to do every single damn thing that I can to get that mission accomplished, or else I'm just going to, you know, kind of wade in the water. Mm-hmm. And the longer you do that, the more you're just going to rot.
Yeah. And you know, really, isn't that what you want in somebody that does, that's a first responder, a fireman, a soldier? Isn't that what you want? Somebody that, damn it, I'm not going to give up. Whatever it is, I'm going to scrape and claw to my very last breath until I accomplish this mission.
Find the way.
And that's what they want. That's what I want. You know, I live in the city, or I work in the city that I live in. That's who I want to come in after my girls if my house is on fire. And that's what every citizen deserves.
Yep.
You know, whether you're, you know, in the military, law enforcement, Air Force, whatever your mission is, but that they deserve that kind of stick-to-itiveness. And I think that those are qualities that that if I ever get to be a decision maker, you know, hiring people, I really want to know, how hard have you been trying? And not really, what are your successes? What are your failures, man?
Yeah.
Because I'm not looking for angels. I'm looking for warriors. you know, and I want to know what your failures are and how you overcome them. And that's important. That's important with character building.
Well, what you often find is some of the greatest people you'll meet are often some of the biggest failures.
Yep.
They've had the biggest failures, and it's the fact that they brushed that off and went on to the next thing and you know, kept persevering that made them a great person.
Amen.
You know, and I hate the word failure, because I feel like failure is when you legitimately just give up. I'm done. No, I mean, I granted, there's sometimes that there's a point where you just say, I've got to stop. But if your mind is thinking,
change tack,
yes, if your mind is thinking, I've got to maybe change an approach, that's not a failure. That's a success, because you've realized you've come to a complete dead end. You can't go any further. Right, that's what it's insanity. Am I correct? But it's like the definition: repeated actions with you know, obviously the same expected result.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to change your tactics. You got to change your approach, and make that. That's a success. That's a small victory. That's what I try to tell people: look for the small victories in everything that you do, because it's not a failure at that point.
Yeah. What do the Marines do? They advance to the rear if they have to.
Yeah.
Advance to the rear. I was taking a confined space class over there in Haltom City, and one of the great instructors over there, his name is Josh Waits, man, and we messed up big time on this drill down there, and he comes up and everybody's just kind of flustered, you know, and he goes I love failures, because that's when you really learn the most. He goes, if this drill would have went perfectly, but what have y'all really learned? You would have learned that you have you know, a lot of confidence, and maybe maybe too much confidence, because the fact that we weren't successful on this made it a success, because now look what we're learning, you know? And I was like, you know, I kind of picked up my head a little bit more, and I wasn't so pissed off at myself, and just thought this is a natural thing, you know?
Yeah.
So you're right, man. There's a lot of merit to what you just said about that.
You know, you kind of alluded to a topic I want to talk to you, and I know your passion behind this, but that's kind of the culture in the fire service now. You know, getting away from this whole bullying and just intimidating, and at least embracing being the senior man you're supposed to be, right? Embracing, teaching them, you know, holding them accountable, you know, not being, you know, you don't have to be their best friend, but you got to hold them accountable. But your job is to teach, and your job is to mentor, your job is to lead. And, you know, there are times, and you know, it's not just, I mean, I'm not saying my department, but I can see it on Facebook, where every firefighter seems to get an opinion as soon as a keyboard's in front of them, right? They get a lot of courage. But what they do in the firehouse is the problem. You know, you've got to live out what you truly preach. And if you're preaching about being the right person, you know, Mark Von Oppen's, you know, his big four, if you're legitimately living by those four things, you're doing the right thing for your department, and your culture will be saved. You know, I hate bullying with a passion. I love messing with people. I have a good time playing jokes and just having a good time. But if you're an asshole, I don't want nothing to do with you. And I don't care if you're the new guy on the job or the most senior guy on the job. If you're an asshole and you're a total prick, then go retire. Go find something else to do. Nobody in this service needs people like that. We need your knowledge.
Yeah.
We need your experience. We need your wisdom that you have. Share it and embark on us. Everything that you ever learned and have done, quit the shit talking and bringing people down. That is one of my biggest pet peeves. And like you said, put it a citizen's first a mindset, you know, citizens first mindset. It's always about them. We have to have that mindset. And if the fire service isn't going to have that type of mindset, then what the hell are we in this fire service for?
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, and I've been on two sides of that. You know, when I first got out onto my very first volunteer department, part-time department, you know, of course I was a little bit older. I was 28, and you know, I thought I was pretty squared away, and I did well. The only reason why they couldn't hire me is because they just weren't hiring, you know? So, went off and did some other part-time jobs with other departments. Never really had any issues at all. You know, was it false sense of confidence? I don't even know if I was confident, because I was always trying to find a way to train more. The problem was that the only, and we can probably bring this up a little bit later, but the only training material out there were these fire magazines, and these fire magazines really kind of didn't, I couldn't relate with them, with what the guys up the north were doing, because we just didn't do that down here, you know? Yeah. So anytime I try to bring it up, either one, you know, the officer didn't know how to do that, so he just brushed it off, or number two, he just said, we just don't do it that way.
Yeah, this and is so New York.
Yeah, I would just read about it and dream about it and say, that's pretty cool. But, you know, and finally, you know, after struggling to get on to my first full-time department, you know, and getting through paramedic school four times. I probably could be a doctor by now. Shoot. But the, you know, I finally got on there and I won the lottery, man. I'm 30 years old, you know, just, I got my beautiful fiance with me and I got a beautiful little girl, 2-year-old girl in my life, you know, and I think I'm on top of the world. When I get there to this department, man, there was just something in that culture that was deep, deep seated. Uh-huh. And I was unaware of, and in fact, it was brought to my attention by several people, you know, hey, Eddie, just, you know, this isn't like normal probation, just watch your back. And I'll be honest with you, the places I had worked at before, you know, they were hard on you in your probationary years, but it wasn't ridiculous. It was, you know, you'd had to work your butt off, but they treat you like a human being. And when I got here, man, it was different, dude. It really was. And there was a sacrificial goat every year. Somebody was gone for, not for a tactical reason. It was just, they were gone because they weren't one of the guys or something like that. And, yeah. You know,
the good old boys.
The assistant chief had, I'm not kidding you, man, he had the shield of every fireman he fired on display on his bookshelf.
What
the hell?
Wow.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, like these are trophies. And when I was a rookie, I'd have to go in there and I'd dust them, you know.
Oh, hell no.
And the thing was about it is that you end up becoming part of the wolf pack.
Yeah.
Because better you than me, you know. So whenever the spotlight, the target was on somebody else's back, man, I would just turn my cheek the other way and say, man, I got a family to feed, but you know, and I kind of started seeing it. And after 3 years, the target was on my back. Mm-hmm. And there's an important part here about that, because there's two ways I could have looked at it. And this is really kind of where I started getting into diving deeper into training and bettering myself. When I felt that the target was on my back, I had a decision to make. I could either start, you know, playing victim and pointing the finger at everybody else, calling them all jerks, whether they were or weren't. Or you can fix yourself and try everything you can to try to reverse that. So that's what I did. I took a hard look in the mirror. I said, Eddie, you got to fix yourself, man. And that's something that was hard for me to do, because I kind of felt as if I was kind of victimized, so to speak. But I can control that. So I started diving into as much training as I could. And that still wasn't enough. So then I even took a bigger piece of humble pie. I went back to the fire academy that molded me, and I didn't go back there to teach. I went back there to audit classes. Mm-hmm. I went back there to say, man, there's something I'm missing here, because evidently I don't know anything about ladders, or I don't know anything about SCBAs, you know, or whatever it was that I was lacking in. Pumping was one of them. I went back and said, can I just sit in this class? I don't want to teach, because apparently I'm awful, but I just want to sit back and watch. And so, you know, I started auditing these classes, and then, you know, one thing led to another, and the instructor said, hey, Eddie, you know what you're doing. Why don't you take a group of these kids and, you know, go over something simple, you know, masking up, gloving up, whatever. And I slowly started bringing my confidence level up to where I could make that decision to where, okay, the problem ain't me. The problem is the culture where I'm at. And that's something that I've told people before. If you are somewhere that you don't think that is treating you right, and they get these expectations for you, you don't have to stay there and take it. There are options, you know, and whatever it is that you are worth something. And as long as you fix yourself first,
yep.
You do everything you can to fix yourself, then you need to go somewhere else where you can spend 20 years with these brothers and you can feel perfectly fine putting your life in their hands and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, talking about commitment, Bemis often talks about, you know, training up and you know, making sure you understand what's going on and retraining. And the fact that you went back to, you know, audit these classes, it's pretty damn impressive, because just being around the fire service for the past, you know, 6 years that I've been here, you can tell that there's guys that don't do that. They go through their courses and then that's about it. They think that they can just ride it out from there.
They get their T-shirt.
Yeah, but really, you know, with any profession, like we talked to Travis Allison, he was top gun pilot, about this. And it's like, if you think that you got to stop learning, you're headed for a crash.
Yep.
Like
yep.
You're headed for failure. You're headed for failure.
Yeah, we can use that word now.
That's the moment whenever you're getting ready to, you know, crash and burn. If you think that's that you don't need to learn something else.
That's funny you say that, because my dad was a fighter pilot too.
I wanted to talk about him also. Yes.
As soon as he found it, as soon as, you know, I got on the job, that's what he told me too. He was just, you know, he changed a gear mentally. He started talking to me, not like I'm the idiot kid, but now like, son, I love you so much. Here's some of my, he'd say, Eddie, you need to keep training, going to ground school. You need to train and train until you don't know what else to do. Cause damn it, if you don't, you're going to end up goddamn dead. That's what he told me. He goes, and I'm serious, you know, and I always took that to heart. So, you know, that's just from another stick pilot, you know, like Allison. It's true, man. It's true. And it's a culture and it's a way that you need to be. Absolutely. Sorry about that interruption.
No, absolutely.
I'm glad you said that. You know, speaking of the whole training thing, you know, you've got to keep bettering yourself. I mean, I've seen too many videos recently of firefighters being burned because they're not doing what they've been trained to do, not taking the right precautions to keep themselves safe, making mistakes that, you know, are ultimately detrimental. You know, they've now suffered burns. I mean, we're dealing with several candidates right now, and I'm not saying that they made bad decisions, but just given the situation, you know, I just read a line of duty death report today that I sent up to the department about a guy that didn't have his gloves on or his hood on inside a house. Well, he ended up getting significant burns and succumbing to his injuries.
I mean, until that becomes second nature, man, it's
you got to drill. And the fact that you went back to audit your academy
and you recognized something
that
recognized something in yourself that told you needed to do that.
And I, you know, I'm not here to criticize anybody that makes a bad mistake, because when somebody gets hurt or, you know, injured in the fire service, man, it affects us all. This is a family. Eddie, you know, just as much as I do, this is one big brotherhood, no matter what, you know, and it's not our job to criticize if somebody made a mistake, why you're not wearing the proper PPE. Our job is to learn.
Yeah.
Right. Let's make sure that we don't make that same mistake. And God forbid that this mistake happened, but we're going to learn. This next time when we go up to this house, we're going to do this, you know, and all we can do is hope and pray. And, you know, that's what Sons of the Flag is here to assist in any way possible. Whenever you do get burned or an instant, God forbid, ever happens, a piece of PPE malfunctions, or you just improperly wear it because maybe it's a training issue. You didn't know how to properly wear it, or you couldn't get it on in the right amount of time. And so you just thought, oh, I'll be okay this time. You know, when accidents happen and incidents happens, that's what I'm happy that this organization's here for, to help people out in those times. You know, no one's here to judge. No one's here to criticize. We're here to make sure that we lift each other up and, you know, make the fire service better. You know, same with all the veterans that we deal with and, you know, all the citizens. We're here to make everybody better, the best that we possibly can.
But you know, it's like y'all were talking about, you know, there's clearly assholes in every field and every environment, but it's like, you know, you have to be able to differentiate whenever somebody's getting on to you. Are they being an asshole, or are they actually trying to help you?
Yeah.
They're trying to push you forward. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to be harsh to push somebody forward, but you also have to be willing to listen to it.
Yeah, I think it's really in the way that you speak to somebody, you know. And also what it is, it's afterwards, after that correction, I call them corrections. After those corrections, you know, those folks there that receive that correction, they may go, oh man, this guy hates me now. You know what I mean? But afterwards, what you do is you kind of go back and just make contact with them again. Hey man, what's up? How you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't give him the silent treatment. You don't start talking, you know, smack behind his back. You go up there and say, hey man, how's it going? You know, everything good? All right, cool. Then they're like, all right, cool. Eddie's not mad at me.
Yeah.
You know, he just wanted me to be better, which is true. You know, we just hired six guys. You know, and we have 55 on our department. So, shoot, you do the math. That's about 10%. 10% of our fighting force now, of our warriors, are brand new guys, you know, and that's a big thing for us right now. So, you know, one of the biggest compliments I had was, you know, for one of the lieutenants to invite me to come to his fire station there at Station 3 and mentor one of the new guys. Mm-hmm. And this new guy, man, he was struggling, you know, at first because, you know, he'd never really been challenged the way he had been. But I think one of the things that we did, and it's not just me at the department, you know, department wide, is that what we did, instead of concentrating on his failures, we saw them as opportunities to fix them. And we dropped everything we possibly could and we brought him up. Now, we did give him a deadline.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of put him through a mini boot camp, so to speak. We took him out to some acquired structures and we just ran him through several scenarios for a week. And we said, you got 1 week to show us some improvement, you know? And the funny thing is that this guy used to be a Division I athlete.
Yeah.
And in the back in the old days, and then he stopped, and he was an older guy when he got on the department also. But man, his switch flipped, and it was like the next day. What the guys told me is he walked in that door like a different person, because what it was, guys, is that he realized that we're investing into him. Yep. We're not breaking him down. We're giving him somewhat of a goal, or I'd like to somewhat of an ultimatum. I'd like to call it a goal. Here it is, man. You got a week. You're not where you need to be, and you got a week to fix yourself. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that you can fix yourself. But the rest of it is up to you. And that's what they did, man. You know, companies went out of service throughout the day to go help him. And, you know, and he had till Friday to fix himself. And Thursday during dinner, you know, the captain goes, hey, you know what? I think you proved yourself that you can do it. And, you know, and you're back on the team again. And
that's awesome.
And that's far different from the fire service that I was growing up in. Mm. That was, what, you don't know how to start a chainsaw? You're out of here.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Yeah. That was it. They didn't have the time, because I guess, I don't know. That was just the way it was. And good on them for not following through with that, because, you know, it's just like our kids in our department. We want to leave it better than we found it. Oh, they deserve better than we had. So you're right, man. It's about how you say, how you talk to them. And that kind of thing. So there's a difference between, you know, getting on to them and treating them less than, and then just correcting them, letting them know why.
Right.
And talking to them like a grown up. Yeah. And there's a big difference.
And understanding not everybody comes from the same background. So just because somebody might not be able to use a certain tool or implement a certain maneuver or something like that, if they're willing to put themselves out there to learn it, mm-hmm. and they're willing to take that criticism and continuously try, I mean, you got to take that into account.
Oh yeah, you got 24 hours, man.
Yeah. or 48, you know, in some saying? Departments.
Yeah, 48 hours. And if you're telling me that if you're such a good fireman that you can't teach somebody how to do something in 24 or 48 hours, or at least to show some kind of improvement, man, maybe the issue is not really that guy.
Yeah, it's not them. Yeah. Yep.
But here's another thing, man, is that if you become, you know, nobody like steps up and says, I'm going to be a mentor today. You know what I mean? It just kind of happens naturally. And there are some guys that can naturally have that rapport with people. And there's other guys that don't. It doesn't make them bad, but it's like, maybe you don't want to go to John. John's a good dude, you know, but
right.
he may not have the patience, or may not have, you know, the verbiage to teach, so to speak. But whenever you find out, you find out pretty quickly if you're that guy. And once you are that guy, it's funny, because you'll start getting guys that are sent to you. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, like, you become a leader even at the bottom. They'll be like, hey, man, you want to know about, you know, ladders? Go to Justin, man. Justin has fixed like three different guys with ladders, you know? And next thing you know, like, you become kind of a subject matter expert, so to speak. And then you start gaining the respect of the guys around you, and from the top and the bottom up. And, you know, you find yourself, you know, a leader, even though you didn't set out to be that way. And that's important. And that's when, I guess, you kind of get dubbed that senior man, you know? And,
yeah, most definitely.
And that's an important thing that comes, you know, as a result of your, I guess, your toiling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure that we throw it out there. I'm not bashing anybody that was making mistakes about PPE or anything. Like I said, you know, that's not us.
No.
Eddie's nailed it perfectly, because if we're bashing anybody for making poor decisions that got them hurt or burned, then, you know, shame on us. That's not what nobody's here to do that.
No.
So I just want to make sure that's out there and clear, because our job is to support each other even when we do make those mistakes, that we're always there to lift each other up, and let's just keep pushing forward with the mission.
You know, we go into these battles, we go into these firefights, and our job, you know, our job is to get into the flow path.
Yep.
Our job is to put ourselves in harm's way, you know, and what's going to happen when you put yourself in harm's way is you may get harmed, or you will get harmed.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time when it happens. And when it happens, you know, all you can do is, with your training, is give yourself the best chance for survival and success.
Yep.
And that's through training. You know, you will get burnt. I've gotten burnt. You will get burnt. You will get hurt. You will break something, twist something, sprain something. And that's our job to do that. But the best way that you can prepare, like my dad said, is you've got to train your ass off.
Yep.
Keep on training. You got to know where you're going to ditch that plane when it happens. You know, you got to know what happens, why it happens, where it happens. That way you can give yourself the most success. And that's one of the things that at first I kind of had a difficult time explaining to my wife, Bethany, you know, why I'm doing all this training. You know, it's not a hobby. It's something that, honey, I want to come home to y'all, you
Right.
know,
Yeah.
and then it's like, honey, I want other guys to be able to come home to their families. You know, it's very selfless. And at times it's hard to explain to them because they, your spouse, thinks it's selfish. And you know, and that's probably something that we could talk about a little bit later, but it's that important. And so that when we do put ourselves in harm's way in that flow path, that's our job.
Right.
That's our job, damn it. But when we train and we have the right training, the right weapons, then that's what we're doing. We're giving ourselves the best chance, you know. And if you get burnt, you know, that's just what happens.
Yep.
And you know, kudos to you for making it through there. And I'm so glad there's places in, it's, you know, in places like the Sons of the Flag that can take care of you and do the right thing for you. Because I mean, shoot, I can only imagine what it's like being in a burn ward. You know what I mean?
Jeez.
And all of a sudden, I don't know what this process is like, but if you get a phone call from Sons of the Flag, you're like, I got friends, man.
100%.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I'm gonna change the conversation here just for a minute because we're getting on time. I want you to talk about, you've got something big going on, right?
Yes, sir. We do. Not me. We. I've got so many guys, like I said, that are so much smarter and better than me. Somehow they put up with me. So the Frontier Fools, going back on what you said, you know, our mission is to help folks. It's to help firefighters and the families get better. And it kind of started with a tragedy, really. There was a firefighter in Arlington that went down to Mexico, and unfortunately he had a tragic accident and he died. And it's firefighter Snow down there. And there's lots of Arlington firemen that are part of the Frontier Fools and the Heart of Texas Fools, either by coming to our meetings, doing the trainings, or they're card-carrying members. And you don't have to be a card-carrying member to go to any of these. We welcome everybody. But we realized with that there's a family there that lost a husband. They lost their dad, and he's one of our brothers. What can we do to help? I'm sure he was getting help from all the different areas, and that's okay, but what can we do to help? So, you know, I called up the guys, said, hey guys, do we have a tool or something that we can raffle off to get this family a little bit of relief in this hard time? And so one of the guys, Gus Salcido, he's an Arlington brother, he says, hey man, I've got some axes that were donated to me from LAX. And so let's raffle off one of the axes. Said, awesome, let's do it. So what happened is we started raffling off one of the axes, and we're just going to try to get 100 spots. And we ended up selling 200 spots and getting a really good amount of money for the family. So what I did is I contacted Arlington Firefighters Association and just said, hey, I'd like to give you all, you know, a token of our condolences, and hopefully this is a little bit of relief for the family. So one morning, Gus and I, we went down to the local union hall there in Arlington, and we presented them with a small token of our grief. And the president said to us, he said, you know what, I don't really know a whole lot about the Fools, but what I've noticed from the Fools is that you guys do good things for people. I said, yeah, that's a good way to say it. We like to do good things. So he goes, well, we're trying to get a leadership kind of a symposium going here, a leadership conference. And I said, okay, that's cool. And he goes, because what we need, I think the fire service really needs is, you know, a little bit more leadership, a shot in the arm, you know, to get guys motivated. Because sometimes guys, they get really, I don't know, preoccupied with the politics in their department, or, you know, just other things, you know, all kinds of outside influences. And, you know, can we have some kind of a way that we can, you know, boost morale in general in the fire service, not just with where we're at? I said, sure, let's do it. You know, I know a couple guys, and I said, what were you thinking about doing it? You know, he named off a couple places, and then I was saying, Gus and I, we look over to the Arlington Convention Center, and we said, what about that place? And he looked at it like we're crazy. He's like, yeah, you mean Esports Stadium? I said, yeah, let's do it, man. Let's fill it. So they kind of gave us the the nod, and they said, we'll support you however we need to, but, you know, this is y'all's wheelhouse. And I'm like, yeah, wheelhouse. I have no idea what I'm doing. I got to call some guys, right?
Yeah.
So I start calling some guys, and I start with Chief Howard Reinwald. And I said, Chief, I need some help, man, because I just got myself in some trouble. he goes, how much do you need for bail? I said, no, not that kind of trouble. He goes, I said, man, I'm looking for some speakers for a leadership conference here in Arlington. And he goes, okay, what kind of venue? And it's a 100,000 square foot venue, and it's called Esports Stadium. And it used to be in the old Arlington Convention Center. And what it is, it's the world's largest indoor gaming arena.
Nice.
So if you can imagine, like, where they have, Call of Duty, the championship of Call of Duty, or whatever else you want to think of, this people from all over the world come here to the stadium, and it's totally geared for multimedia. You can stream anywhere in the world. There's computer access. I mean, there's so much technology in there, it's overwhelming. It's got its own, it's got a huge stage on it.
Nice.
With all these large screens behind it. And then off to the right, which is even really cool, offset to the right is a sports commentating desk. Yeah, it's like ESPN game day.
That's the type of stuff that I love right there. That's right up my alley.
Right? Landon's already bought the first ticket.
Right. So I'm sitting there, like, we're just sitting there, we're looking at this, and our wheels are turning. And we're like, man, we could have like a 2-day leadership conference in here, and we could have like two of the best MCs that I could think of, or three of them that I could think of over here at the commentator desk. And we can make this interactive.
Yeah.
We can try to make this like something that nobody's ever done before, and make
absolutely
an interactive leadership conference where the speakers, the guests, and vendors all have equal time, and they're all talking to each other, and they can all be interviewed and spoken with through these MCs. So I was like, okay, who could the MCs be? And I'm like, Corley Moore, you know, from Firehouse Vigilance and the Weekly Scrap. And I'm thinking Jeremy Donch from National Fire Radio. These two guys, they're really well-known personalities, you know, and that's in their wheelhouse. That's what they do. So I call them up. Corley Moore knows me just by, because he asked me to be on a show, and I was just like this. I'm like, why do you want to hear me?
Right.
I call him up, and I go, hey, would you like to do this crazy idea with me? And he goes, would I ever? So I got him on board with it, and I got Jeremy Donch to do it. So if you could think about Corley Moore and Jeremy Donch behind, you know, this ESPN type sports commentating table,
right.
And then bringing up like these speakers, you know, to come and talk. And then in between that, bringing up the vendors to come and talk about their products. And then also after the speakers are done talking, bringing up audience members to come and actually interview, you know, these speakers, to where it's an interactive forum. We started thinking about the names, and when I was talking with Corley Moore about it, I said, man, what do we call it rather than the conference? Because the name conference, although it is a conference, he's like, it's kind of been, it's used.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The ABC conference, the Acme Brick conference.
And right.
So we started diving back into Texas history, and it was actually Corley's idea, and he's an Okie, so don't hold that against him.
Damn, I didn't realize an Okie came up with this.
Yeah, man. He's an Okie, just like all the other Okies that love Texas.
They all want to be Texans at heart. We all know it.
I mean, they get their whole football team from us, so come on now.
Yeah, right.
Those are going to be fighting words for some out there.
He goes in and he sends me this thing. He's like, okay, tell me if you dig this. And historically, so in Texas, before Texas was part of the states, it was a territory, part of Mexico, right? And so back then, like in the 1830s, we're going to do a little bit of history here, but in the 1830s, like the United States, it stopped at the Appalachian Mountains, where Kentucky and Virginia and all that is. And everything to the west of that really was just like territories.
Right.
Well, Texas was part of Mexico, but Mexico didn't have any presence in Texas. Texas was just full of Comanche Indians and some Mexican banditos, and that was about it. But the only way that they could keep hold of Texas was by colonizing it. Just the same way that the Europeans did with the East Coast.
Right.
So they put out a big announcement, said, if anybody wants to start over, or if anybody wants to to own land and be a landowner, come to Texas. All you have to do is just, you know, sign some papers, pledge your allegiance, and we'll give you, you know, 100 acres and, you know, you'll be a landowner. And so there's lots of people that left the states to come to Texas, whether they're running from the law, debt, their wives, whatever it was. They'd go over and they'd say, hey, man, where did Landon and Justin go? And the thing was is that they would leave these signs on their cabin that said, gone to Texas. You know, like gone to Texas.
I like that.
You know what I mean? So anyway, that's kind of where it came from. It's like, let's call it gone to Texas so that when people want to start over, get another refresh of the fire service, a little shot in the arm.
Yeah.
They say, we'll call it Gone to Texas. And so that's kind of where the name came from. And so we've got some great speakers lined up. Scott Thompson is going to open it up. Chief Mo Davis with the first couple, 3 hours. The second one after that, Mike Gogliano and Mike Dugan will do one together called Rock This House. We'll have about a 2.5 hour lunch with a vendor show. And then that night, we're going to have a great Tactics on Tap. They're at a local Live by Lowe's Hotel. And then the second day will be Chief Howard Reinwalt with a keynote. And then we'll have Clyde Gordon for the first class. Do another vendor show break for about 2 hours. And then end it with Todd Edwards. And then after that, have a roundtable discussion with everybody. And it's going to be a great time. We're gonna have great vendors there, and the great thing is that it's gonna be interactive. So
that's awesome.
That sounds great.
You'll see guys that are coming up and down the, you know, the rows, you know, interviewing people. What do you think? How, you know, what do you think about this product, and so on and so forth. That way, everybody has the same way to interact, rather than just you sit down, listen to some guy talk. Then you know,
it's kind of like a firefighter revival. If I see anybody shaking or doing that demonic twist, boy, I'm out of there.
That's it, man. So that's really kind of what we're doing.
Awesome. And we've got
we got lots of folks that are really encouraging me, man. And that's the thing that I think is most humbling about it. You know, I want it to be a success, but to me it's already a success because number one, you've got to call people and ask for help. And that's something that people need to understand. If you want to do anything big, is that ask for help. Don't try to do it all on your own.
Oh God.
Because
no.
You know, really just human nature. People want to help people. Yes. And if you ask them the right way, they will give you a ton of information.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's one thing that I've really been blessed with all this help coming into the Frontier Fools. And, you know, I even talked to Justin earlier. I was like, hey, man, you know, I need some help. What do you think? You know, he started naming some guys to help me sponsor and such. So, you know, I'm just a booger picking fireman. And I'm no way a corporate sponsoring, you know, professional, but I'm slowly starting to get educated in it. And anyway, I just kind of wanted to give that promo there and let you know that it's going to be June 10th and 11th there in Arlington, Texas.
It's going to
be
yeah. 2 days,
Friday and Saturday with Gone to Texas. So
that's right down the road from me. I live in Hearst, so I'm not too far.
Yeah, man. Tickets go on sale November 5th, man. And so if anybody asks you, what are you doing this June? Just tell them Gone to Texas.
There you go. Well, Eddie, I want to wrap this up, but I want to ask you just a couple, you know, be one word answers. We try to do a couple quick questions, and I try to change it for each of our guests. You know, we talked a lot of military badasses, and, you know, we get our fire badasses, such as yourself. So I just want a couple quick answers. So real quick, favorite firehouse meal?
Favorite firehouse meal. Oh,
if you say chicken parmesan like Shoop, I'm gonna come over there and fight you.
It's something I haven't had in a while, but goulash. I love goulash.
Goulash.
All right.
Yep.
All right. What's your favorite podcast or your favorite book that you would recommend to somebody?
Podcast or book, man. Shoot, it would be unfair to say my favorite podcast. You know, I love this one. I love the Truck Company Misfits. I love Firehouse Vigilance. You know, right now we're in a time where there's podcasts.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere, and they're all great. I've not heard one bad one. Rogue Tailboarder is a good one. He's, you know, Jeffrey Snow, man. He's a good up-and-comer. I mean, all these guys are good. You know, National Fire Radio. I can't think of it. I've never heard a bad one, to be honest. You know, I've heard some that are kind of not as refined as the others, but they're all good because they're all, they all have the same mission, is they're all just trying to, you know, make this fire service better.
No, absolutely. Some of the, you know, the less refined ones are some of the best ones, but just because it's just heart, man. It's heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No kidding, man. You know, as long as the why, the reason behind it, I'll get behind any of them.
Yeah.
I'll get behind any of them. I think it's great. As far as the books, let me think here. I'm not a real big book reader, and I'm embarrassed to say that, but I would say the last one.
As long as you don't say the IFS the manual, man, you're all right.
No, the last one I read, is that it's actually kind of more philosophical, but it's called The Book of Five Rings.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And it was written back in the, you know, in the 14th century and by a guy named Musashi, and he was a samurai warrior, actually a rogue warrior that went off and kind of did a Moses type thing, you know, did a lot of introspective, you know, thought. And that's a good one. If you want to know a little bit about leadership, a little bit about warfare and how to be strategically, you know, successful. I think that's really cool. And if you like history, another really good one is about history is Empire of the Summer Moon. Okay. If you want to know about Texas history and the way that the pioneers and the Indians, how they all battled for survival at that time, that's a great one. And the cool thing about it is it'll talk about towns and creeks and basins that we see now.
They're still real, yeah, that we still have.
Yeah, they'll sit there and they'll talk about all kinds of stuff. And like, oh yeah, that's down the street, or you know, oh yeah, we passed that on going down 281 to San Antonio. And so that's a good one there, man. But
I'm definitely gonna check that one out.
Yeah, Empire of the Summer Moon. It's a great one, man. And it holds no punches, man. They tell you about every detail, you know, fire ants and air. I mean, just everything. You'll know what I'm talking about.
I love my history, and Texas history is right up there with it.
It's it, man. It's it.
All right. My last question. You're sitting at the kitchen table. New guy sits in front of you. What's some advice you got for him?
Wow. New guy sits in front of me?
Yep.
I would tell him this. I let him know that I always like to tell him the history of our department, mm-hmm. you know? But if I could just say something really quick to them, I've done that a couple times, that I'll tell them, I'll say, hey, kid, you won the lottery. And they look at me like, well, yeah, I'm really good. I said, do you remember what you were doing when you got the call? And they'll always tell me, yeah, I was doing so on and so forth. I said, okay, what did Chief tell you? You know, and they tell me the story. I said, how did you feel? And they go, oh, man, it was awesome. You know, it was awesome. You know, I'm like, don't ever, ever, ever forget that. And they go, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I go, my name's Eddie. And then I'll say, I'll tell them this. I'll say, you know, there's about, in the United States, there's somewhere around 325,000 firefighters, professional firefighters. I said, and of that 325,000 professional firefighters in the United States, there's about 325 million people. So I said, you do the math.
Yeah.
You do the math, man. You're one in a million. Whether you're Weatherford, FDNY, Salina, Benbrook, Lake Worth, wherever it is, you're one in a million. Mm-hmm. I said, you're the luckiest guy in the world. I said, don't ever forget that feeling.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yep, that's it, man.
That's awesome.
That keeps me going. Keeps me going. And I'm like, man, that's the greatest. Sometimes I have bad days, man. I do. I have some bad days, but I'm always like, it's better than digging ditches, man.
Yeah, yeah, 110%.
Better than digging ditches, dude. And, you know, and then you'll do that. You'll run that one call, you know, whatever it is. It's usually the falls. Those are the ones that people like don't like going to because
right.
they think it's a waste of time. But these are the helpless senior citizens. I don't want to say helpless, but they're the senior citizens that we value so much. And they fell.
Yeah.
And they fell. And they're from a generation where they didn't call 911.
No.
You know, and now they'll have to, you know, their husband or their wife is too weak to pick them up because they're just as old. So they call us to come into their house and pick them up. And the hardest thing in the world to do, guys, as you know, by doing push-ups or burpees, hardest thing in the world is getting up off the ground.
Yep.
That is hard to do. And, you know, and these guys can't do it. So whenever I pick them up off the ground, I'm like, man, that was it. You know,
yeah.
That was it. And they didn't call their preacher or their lawyer. They didn't call their son.
Yeah.
They called me.
Yep.
He called me and this new guy to come and pick him up off the ground. And I'll let them know, you know, that new guy, how important it is of what we just did. So,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Well, Eddie, brother, I can't thank you enough for joining us. We're tight for time tonight, but I always enjoy talking with you, man. I really do. I love your heart. I love your passion. I just love what you're doing for the fire service itself, man. You're changing it in a positive way. You're changing and you're influencing everyone, whether you know it or not. So, again, thank you for joining us tonight, man.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, Landon and Justin, absolutely. It was great to meet you, Landon. And Justin, I want to say probably one of the last things we talked about, man, I think we cried together on the phone when we were talking about the Winoka firefighters.
Yeah.
You know, those volunteer firefighters that went into that burning house knowing that they weren't going to get out of there alive, but they were going to go in and save those folks. And you and I called them. I don't know why, man. I called you up. It's like, man, can you believe that? And you're like, no. And I was like, we cried together, man.
Yeah.
You know, for these heroes.
We've had some good talks, man. That's I will never take them for granted. I can promise you that.
I love you, brother. Hey,
love you too,
Landon.
Man.
Great meeting you.
All right, sir.
I look forward to seeing you in person too.
Let's do it, man. Gone to Texas.
Yes,
there
sir.
You go, brother. Be good.
All right,
man.
Guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
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 That was awesome.
So Eddie,
hell yeah.
Eddie's a great dude, man.
Yeah. How long have you known him?
It's been a couple years now. He's been just really just digging, and he's done so much for the community.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody is in need, he's the first one that steps up.
That's awesome.
He might not know exactly what to do, but he's going to find a way to do something.
Yeah.
And I wish I had his drive half the time because, like I said, we're good friends on Facebook, and you know he lives in Weatherford. I live about an hour to hour and a half away from him. And so we don't get to see each other as often. But whenever we host a training event through my Fools chapter, the Heart of Texas Fools, it's guaranteed Eddie's always there.
Yeah.
He's always paid his way into that place. And, you know, he's asked us to come down and help out with some of the Frontier stuff. And it's super awesome what he's trying to do. And he's, like I said, he's going to be the one that's going to help change the fire service for the better.
Well, you can tell just by him having that forward-thinking process of, I mean, because it's larger organizations that can do something like he's talking about, where they can have the live streaming and they can have it interactive and all that kind of stuff. Those typically take larger organizations.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's being forward thinking, he's like, how can I bring this back to a smaller realm and
but
still take it to a mass audience? That's
I mean,
huge.
He's truly a visionary. You know, he just put on a good training conference in Fort Worth, I think 2 weekends ago.
Nice.
With Shoop and then Mike Torres, you know, they had, and Seth Taylor and all those guys, you know, they had their you know, the truck side and you have the engine side. And Fort Worth opened their doors to Eddie, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eddie's breaking barriers down that a lot of us never thought were possible. And,
that's awesome.
And he's just a driven individual. I wish he would join us on the task force here.
Yeah.
Because he would be nonstop. And so, Eddie, like I said, you know, look us up on, you know, on the Frontier Fools. Follow Eddie. You know, he's always got something going on. And like I said, you're not going to be disappointed with
and
him.
And Gone to Texas, June 2nd?
Yeah. I literally had all my phone right here and everything deleted off.
Oh, no.
I'm like, but it's in June. It's a Friday and Saturday. Tickets do go on sale November 5th. So
I'm going to need to see if I can't make my way over there and just get some pictures or something because that's right down the road from me.
No, Eddie would welcome. He, you know, he loves what we do here at Suns, and so
I'd love to go out there and represent.
Yeah, he would love to have us out there just to kind of say hello, and you know, at least, you know, maybe we can go out there and talk about our mission. And
yeah,
people and I'll talk with Eddie about setting something up.
That'd
for
be
us,
sweet.
But I think it'd be very beneficial for us to get our mission.
Well,
out.
I'm sure at that point we'll be looking to do another SOTF radio too.
Yes.
So
yeah, and we got a lot of good candidates there.
Yeah, take the microphones over there like we did at FDIC and get some interviews in.
Absolutely.
I'm up for that.
But you know, we do have some of our own events coming up. We have Stars and Stripes Film Festival next Monday.
Next Monday.
Well, actually, this weekend.
Yeah.
Right?
Next Sunday is the film, which Leroy Petrie is going to be the keynote speaker there, and then
the
Monday is the luncheon.
Right.
The film is open and it is being held at what is the theater's name? Because they closed down the other one. Sheesh.
Well, Landon's looking that up. We also have Joe Fowler's Carolina
Angelica Fire. Angelica Film Center.
Okay, the Angelica
Film Center. Off Mockingbird Lane.
Perfect.
And that's going to start at 6:30, and that's open to the public. So if you want to come and you want to watch the movie with us, and you want to be able to ask a Medal of Honor recipient, the new president of the Medal of Honor Association, some questions after the film, come on over. Just, you know, come see us. Yeah. We'll be there, and we're looking forward to it. It's always a great time.
And then November 15th through the 19th, the Carolina Firemanship Conference. We have Joe and Heather Yaller. They've been working their asses off getting this thing ready to rock and roll. So,
well, like you heard Eddie say, you know, he was talking about his, you know, his wife sometimes thinks the going and doing all that training and stuff like that is selfish. One of the things that we talked about last time, Joe and his wife have, you know, created this spouse deal where the spouse can come out and train and see exactly what it's about. And I think that's a huge opportunity for some people.
Yep, absolutely. And so, you know, like I was saying, I wish Eddie would join our task force here. We are always taking task force members.
Absolutely.
So you can log on to www.sonsoftheflag.org and click on the link for task force and how to join task force. You'll get an email from Landon and Greg, and they'll walk you through the entire process. We're growing. We're growing rapidly.
And we've had some great events this year, guys throwing – I mean, whenever guys join, they think they need to do some massive event or something like that. We've had guys, you know, just raise $3,500, and what people don't realize is for $2,500, you can change a burn survivor's life. Mm-hmm. We can put them through, because of our program, Mission Reconstruct Freedom, we can put them through some life-changing surgery. We've gotten a gentleman an ear. We've gotten him a thumb. We've gotten him back fat so he can actually lay down on his back. You know, we've gotten people new faces. We've been able to change the dynamic of how burn survivors are taken care of. And all that's for one person, that's $2,500.
That's awesome.
And so this one event that Gary threw, you know, raised $3,600, that's a burn survivor and a half.
Yep. That's awesome. And Gary's doing big things in Arkansas, too.
Absolutely.
And he just joined the team at FDIC.
Yeah. And he's already supported a burn survivor immediately.
Yes. I think we had two or three people join us at FDIC this year. So our numbers are growing. So look us up. If you need help or need assistance, we also have the page on the webpage itself. Sorry, tongue tied there.
Yeah.
the webpage itself, we have the burn application and we have all the resources that you may need. And we'll put you in the right contact with the right person. Sherry's quick to get back to you.
Yep.
Like I said, our communication line is always open.
Absolutely.
And so we're real quick about what we do. And like, again, we hope that you guys take the chance to join us.
Even though we are a small organization with only three people in the office, we have quite the reach. We have people all over the country. If you need some help, or if you know somebody that needs some help, get them in contact with us so we can do it. And we're ready to do it. And we're ready to help.
And again, you know, we're on all social media at Sons of the Flag. You can find us at YouTube at Sons of the Flag. Fire Engineering Blog Talk
Radio.
And
we have a TikTok now.
Uh-oh.
And if you have a TikTok, so I've just submitted us to be a nonprofit on TikTok. So hopefully our nonprofit will show up. And if you have a TikTok, you can put us as your preferred nonprofit, and hopefully you can help us raise some money on TikTok.
That's awesome. Well, again, thank you guys for listening in tonight. I just want to thank Eddie Steele for taking the time to talk with us. Like I said, I always enjoy conversations with Eddie. He's full of so much passion and heart. And like I said, the fire service is going to be better because of people like him. So
110%.
Thank you guys again for listening in. As always, follow us on all social media at Sons of the Flag, now TikTok. And again, you know, we just ask that you guys stay safe, stay passionate, and always keep the mission first.
See y'all later.